Welcome to Positive Impact with Andrew Schultz.
This episode is sponsored by Positive Impact Transformational Coaching. Not only do I host this podcast, I'm also a certified transformational life coach, and I specialize in behavior change. Over the last 5 years, I've helped hundreds of clients from all walks of life create transformation and breakthroughs through my 12-week private one-on-one coaching program. Together, we uncover the things that are getting in the way and holding you back from being your best self and highest good, discovering the negative impact and consequences those behaviors and limiting beliefs are having in your life and in the lives of those around you, and then discarding those old ways of being to create new habits, rituals, practices to support you to create your own breakthrough and positive impact transformation. To get your journey started today, go to my website, theandrewschultz.com, or my Instagram, Positive Impact Andrew, to schedule a free 30-minute connection call. I'm here to support you, to serve you, and empower you in making 2023 your best year ever, filled with maximum success, significance, and fulfillment. Hey friends, welcome back to Positive Impact. Today, I have a guest who I've been really excited to have on. He is Q Williams, and Q is a person in my life who brings an enthusiasm and zest that I cannot wait for you to hear. A man who I met a couple months ago, and somebody I really respect and admire. And the enthusiasm that you bring into my life, Q, I'm grateful for, and thank you for being on with us.
Man, what an intro. I'm bringing the zest today. Thanks so much, Andrew, for having me on. This is a conversation long overdue, so I'm really excited to drop in with you.
Yeah. So Q and I met a couple months ago. We are in a men's mastermind together, and there's a lot of overlap with Q and I. Q lives in San Diego, doing some amazing things. I just moved from San Diego, mutual friends, college athletes, some crossover in the corporate space. But a question that just came to me, Q, is what's your walk-up song?
Oh, bro.
Like, that's just, I've never asked a guest on my podcast. I've never asked that question, but it's on my heart, bro. What's your
great opportunity song? Oh, man. Have you ever seen Any Given Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
So do you know the scene where, I don't know what it is, but there's a scene where like there's this big pass, you know, and the quarterback throws the ball in the air, and the frame just follows the football like for 10 seconds straight, and he catches a touchdown or like whatever it is, the winning score. And there's a song that plays there. It's by Kirk Franklin, and it's like this gospel song. This was my walk-up song in college. It's like, it goes like that. It's like Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. And it's like a mixture of rap and gospel and soul, like all at once. And it just like blasts as this ball goes in the air. So that was my walk-up song. It got me pumped. It was also kind of like a little bit of a joke too. Like it was kind of like something to kind of shake the cobwebs off and, you know, not take it so seriously, you know, because my podcast is probably going to be called 90% Mental. Because life is 90% mental too, just like baseball. And so whatever I can do to shake it off, you know, and get prepped to step up to the plate, I will do it. So thanks. That's a good question. It's called, that one's called If You've Been Delivered by Kirk Franklin.
Okay. I'll put it in the show notes for people listening that if people want a reference, we'll provide that.
Yeah, it's a good one. What was yours? Can you tell me?
Up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Up DMX. In here. Up yeah. In here. Yes.
Yeah. That was mine, bro.
Oh man. Short tangent. Like every year I throw a Super Bowl party where instead of like really watching the Super Bowl and being attention to it, we actually make soup and it's a soup off. And I've won one of the 2 years that I've run it. I won my own competition. It's kind of funny. But we always have walk-up songs for the soups. Like, so when you come out and explain your soup and like describe it and present it, you have a walk-up song and everyone goes fucking crazy. It's so much fun. Everybody should have a walk-up song in their own life too, you know?
I agree, man. Life is better with walk-up songs. Like we wake up in the morning, take our cold shower, prayer and meditate, make the bed, and then bam, walk-up song.
I like that. Hell yeah. I got a few walk-up songs right now. You know, I got a playlist. I'll put the music on and you'll find me dancing in here. Like if there was cameras in this place, you'd have a whole YouTube channel, like easy TikTok channel.
And for people listening, Q is a handsome son of a bitch. Like he is a good looking dude. And for those of you who are going to watch the video of our podcast, you will see like he's got it going on. So the ladies in San Diego, whoo.
Thank you.
All right, brother. What's alive for you right now?
Right now I'm alive to some brotherhood.
Yeah.
Just connecting with you. I'm alive to the playfulness of life. I'm alive to the growth and the opportunities that are ahead of me. You know, I try not to talk about it too much, but I'm also alive to like how a lot of men are struggling. But I think what's cool about being alive to what I'm alive to right now is that this is the antidote to that, you know, the connection, the brotherhood, the letting it loose, right? Like, you know, my relationship with my brother has drastically changed over the last several years. And one thing he's said before, and I hope he doesn't mind me kind of speaking out of turn on this, but like, he would often say to me, like back in the day, he would say, I just want to kind of like let loose with you. You know what I mean? But I didn't know what that meant. You know what I mean? I thought that meant like slinging beers or, you know, like going around town or, and like, I think what guys really mean about that, including probably my brother, is like, you know, you just want to like be guys, you know what I mean? And connect without all of the facades, all the need to, have to, shoulds. And so, I mean, hell, like, I'm present to that right now. That's what I'm having fun with right now.
Beautiful. And I should probably share with the audience, like Q, he's a men's coach for current and retired athletes, bringing clarity, brotherhood, and accountability to men's deepest mission after sport. As the creator of the world-class method, Q is a leading authority on male athlete mental wellness. So the reason I wanted to have Q on for everybody listening is, you know, there's this term and, you know, Q and I are both ex-athletes. Q is a two-sport athlete at Northwestern. And what happens is, and I didn't know there was a name for it, Q. And I had a guy, Randy Grimes. He was on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. He played for the Tampa Bay Bucks and then NFL for 10 years. And he wrote a book. And in the book, he calls it Transitional Trauma. And I never heard that term, transitional trauma. And he references when athletes retire and they finish their sport and then they move into a new chapter or season in their life. But this transitional trauma is what you focus on in your work. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because there's so many men struggling, not knowing how to ask for help. And this term transitional trauma, like, what does that mean to you? And like, for people listening, like, tell us about your work with men and what it encompasses. But first, let's go back further. What inspired you to start doing this work that you're doing?
Yeah, it's all connected, as you probably know, right? So the worst example of transitional trauma is a man taking his life after playing football. That's the hallmark example, the concussion example, the Will Smith movie. that movie came out several years after I had really done my research and really studied this topic. I learned about the concussion problem and what men were facing in and out of sports back in 2012. I was in a master's program at Northwestern, and like this thought, this idea, or this like problem just caught hold of me. And that's been my inspiration ever since. Seeing, you know, people like Mike Webster, Junior Seau. Mike Webster's from my hometown. Junior Seau's from here in San Diego. Like these happy people, these like world-class individuals and men turning into shells of themselves after the sport. I just started getting to work on like, how can I be a conduit for change? How can I support this problem? And you know, it took me a long time, like candidly, but to figure things out, because I was going through my own struggles. As a former athlete, I was trying to figure out my own sense of confidence, my own transitional trauma. What I think also happens in transition beyond sports is not just the head trauma stuff, right? But there's also the transitional trauma of like, oh, I'm actually realizing that sports was a channel for all my frustration, all my sadness, all my anger, all my passion. It was a great conduit for that. And man, having that channel plugging into that once a day, golden. When you don't have that, a lot of shit comes up that you don't know how to deal with. You don't have a plug to put the energy. So I experienced that. I experienced post-concussion syndrome, all the symptoms that come with that, moodiness, frustration, a lot of confusion for me. And I'm not the only guy that goes through that. Like I'm not trying to tell my story as a sob story, but like it was frustrating and very confusing. And it led me to create solutions and seek out alternatives and ways of approaching this. And I started looking at men's work, you know? So 5 years, 5 years ago, I went to my first men's retreat hosted by our good friend, Dan Doty. And it's like, wow, this blows my mind. Like getting guys in a room together, talking to one another, talking about things that actually matter to them. Wow, this is really cool. And it actually reminds me of my buddy who's an AA. He's been an AA for, at that point, 2 years. And he was telling me about all these conversations he was having in AA. Like, wow, like you're talking about doing a 4-step. He's like, you should do a 5th step, man. I'm like, what the hell's a 5th step? Sounds cool. You know, like, and I'm like, wow, where can I get something like this for me?
For people listening, the 5th step in Alcoholics Anonymous is a deep inventory of our personal inventory of fears, resentments, sex, all the things that have happened in our life. It's a written personal inventory that Q is referencing in that 4th and 5th step of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12-step program. But it's one of the most ancient principal tools ever invented of personal written inventory that they've been doing for thousands of years. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as a high performer in sports, like I wanted to be around more high performance tools and high performance men and people, right. And guidance and support, mentorship, whatever. Right. I just wanted that environment and, you know, transitioning. I just didn't find that myself. I couldn't find it for myself in the path that I wanted to go down. So I created it, you know, like, and it wasn't clean. It wasn't simple. It wasn't easy. It was very uncomfortable and frustrating at many times, very dark. And you know, you're an entrepreneur too, right? Mm-hmm. There's getting it off the ground is very tough.
And it's important to note real quick, Q, it's important for people listening to note the similarities of sports and 12-step programs. And I think, you know, you're spot on with, you know, shining the light of awareness on that with your mm-hmm. friend. And I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people listening are sober, curious, in recovery, have something external that they're using to numb out as a way to cope with life. And so, you know, in 12-step programs, which I'm still very active in, you know, there's the sponsor, which is a coach. There is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a playbook. And then there's the meetings, which are practices. Mm-hmm. So it's so appropriate that we're using sports analogy and recovery language because there's so much overlap.
Yeah, I love that. And I, what a good framework for our conversation. And it speaks so much to all the work that I do as well. Like in my athlete work, I talk about developing and creating a playbook for your life beyond sports. You have to create your own. There is no playbook. There is no coach beyond sports. You have to go seek one out, or you have to be that for yourself. You have to be your own coach. Mm-hmm. You have to set your own records, right? And it is a confusing time for a lot of people because they're not handed a playbook. Unless, you know, if you're lucky and you land in a corporate gig that you really love and you find mentorship there, and some people have that and they love it. Most guys I talk to, though, like, they don't love that, right? That they actually want more freedom. They want more agency. And that they want to live a life that's more authentic to them. So a big part of the work is actually coming back to the authenticity, which is what you and I talk about a lot. You can't know where you want to go unless you're actually being authentic with yourself and really taking down the mask. In my book, it's once a week, you know, or once in a while to really uncover who the hell you are, what you really want, and where we're really going, and how to actually get there. So, you know, yeah, you're spot on, and like providing a framework for how to think about that. It's golden. You know what I mean? I wish I would have had that coming out of sports. You know, this is a long-winded answer to your original question of like, how's all this connected? But it's connected in the way that, you know, now that I've supported so many athletes, and I'm talking to the WTA and the ATP this week. I'm really excited to work with some, you know, some high caliber pro athletes and like expand that work. I'm working with Yale football right now. I'm fucking elated by that. And it's so much fun. And like, they're taking it in so well. What I'm learning right now is like, people are really craving this. The emotional work, the undercarriage kind of work, you know, the stuff that we don't talk about that's more taboo. This stuff is like so potent right now, and it's not just athletes that want it.
Yeah.
What's great is that most athletes right now are talking about it. You have, you know, athletes, you know, Dak Prescott, you know,
Dak Shepard's in recovery. There you go. Yep. It's appropriate.
Exactly. And so you hear of all these stories of guys like taking on their life in a new way, like really confronting their ego, confronting their shadows and talking about it openly. And what I love about sports is that it's a great platform for guys to really make real change. And so when you hear someone like that, that you really look up to, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, share openly, like what a freaking like superpower that is to make an impact with other men. So the reason I say that is because I'm seeing that same trend in men in general. You're from San Diego, like being here, it feels like every conversation I have at a coffee shop or, you know, sometimes it's at a bar, I don't really drink much, but like wherever I'm at and I talk about what I do, they ask me and I tell them, their ears perk up. They're like, oh, interesting. Can I get your card? And I'm like, I don't have a card. Go to mensmeetup.com. That's what I tell them. Mensmeetup.com.
We'll put that in the show notes as well. So for people listening.
Yeah.
You say there's athletes are lacking. And I think we both agree men in general are lacking in three things. And you say purpose, fulfillment, and connection.
Yeah. It's a good encompass. Yeah. Good summary.
I think in both of our experiences, I agree with that. I think men now more than ever are craving that connection, especially after being cooped up for the last 2.5 years with COVID and this real epidemic of isolation, which I know you talk about very candidly and appropriately on your social media, on your Instagram, which is awesome for people listening. I'll also put your Instagram handle for people that they can start following you, but that disconnection. And in recovery language, we say disconnection equals addiction and recovery equals connection.
Yeah.
And that's how important this idea of connection is. And I know with your work and our work, you know, your men's group that I want to talk about, the amazing work that you're doing in San Diego, you know, your men's meetup. Like, so for people listening, like talk about your men's meetup, what you're doing, your in-person events. So for people listening, if they're curious, we can start to drive them to your group. And if they want to know more, we can kind of give them a taste of what they can expect in your in-person groups that you put on.
Yeah. I like to keep it really simple for guys. That's why I call it men's meetup. Like it's nothing too crazy, right? Like I'm not going to I don't know, like, I think some guys get, there's a stigma around this topic, right? And so I think what I love about Men's Meetup and what we do in these workshops is it's very approachable. You're gonna get three things. You're gonna get, you're gonna challenge yourself. You're gonna step outside your comfort zone and challenge yourself in some way, right? You're gonna see things in a new light. You're gonna see a new perspective. Second of all, you're going to really connect with a really empowered brotherhood, like a community of guys. And then lastly, you're probably going to learn something, right? Like I'm trying to give some tools or perspectives that might shift things for you. You're definitely going to get uncomfortable though. And I mean uncomfortable in a way of like, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be asked to do something that feels stretchy for me, right? Maybe something stretchy to share, maybe something stretchy to do. But that the element of like challenge, men love challenge. Men love the opportunity to stretch outside their comfort zone, see how far they can push it, and do it with guys that are also in agreement that we're here to challenge ourselves and better ourselves. And so when you have those two components mixed together, like it's magic. And most of what I'm doing is like facilitating a really powerful just experience for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to lecture to you. I'm not here to like mansplain something to you or show you how to man. Every man is really out here, you know, just trying to learn new tools, learn new perspectives, and figure out what being a man means to them. Mm. It's usually a balance of both kind of our yin and our yang, you know, like our masculine and our feminine nature. So it's really all about both. So Men's Meetup is an opportunity once a month right now to drop in for 2 hours with me and a group of guys. We've had like as many as 50 guys sign up for these events. Like it's been growing really, really big. So that's Men's Meetup. We're also doing some immersion. So I have my first immersion coming up. We'll probably do those bi-monthly because they're important. If you want to take the work a little bit deeper, you go to an immersion or you join a men's group that I also lead online. So Men's Meetup is just the start. It's just a way to kind of peek in and dip your toes into this idea of men's work, this idea of community and brotherhood and mm-hmm. self-growth.
And for people listening, for people who hold space for men, and a lot of women are facilitating men's work as well. So my favorite question as an icebreaker to get men to really get more vulnerable and honest and take off the mask of masculinity is this simple statement. If you really knew me, you would know that, and you finish that sentence. That is hands down the most powerful icebreaker question to incorporate into any men's work for people listening. Asking them to say and finish the sentence, if you really knew me, you would know that. And for me, my answer is, I feel like an imposter. Who am I to have a podcast and be doing podcasts? Who am I to put on men's retreats and men's immersions, just like Q is doing? But those fears and those thoughts, I get them as well. And I feel like an imposter sometimes. And I have a lot of fear. And so those are the things that come up for me when I finish that statement. And it's important that I, as a leader, share my answer first to give other men permission to share their answer.
It's the first question I often ask in my workshops. It's you're giving away the secrets right now. I love it. We have the same secret. That is at this point I'm really well versed in being able to answer that question. So I like to go first. And people are always like, how do I follow that up? You know, but then they try it and they're like, holy shit, I didn't realize I had all that in me. I didn't realize I wanted to be understood for this, or that I wanted to be seen for this, or that I had. Oh man, I didn't realize I was thinking that, you know? So it's a practice of vulnerable sharing, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also a practice of self-awareness. You start to realize and see things in a new way, all from a simple question. Like how simple is that prompt?
Yeah.
Right. And it speaks to really how we all really just, we really want to be understood at the core. I think what a lot of guys, and I got this wrong for a long time myself, we sometimes get it wrong where we think that everyone's supposed to just understand us for who we are, right? Like everyone's supposed to like be mind readers. Like it's a classic thing for women, right? Like women are supposed to be able to read your mind, you know? But I think guys do it too. Like we just expect people are supposed to understand us or get us, you know? When we don't share, we don't even sometimes have the words to have people understand us. So, you know, the fact that you have the word imposter syndrome, you actually have that in your vocabulary to be able to identify it. You don't have to identify with it, mm-hmm. but you can identify that feeling and that emotion. And, you know, I don't know if you feel this way, but hopefully it's released, you know, you can just
sure.
identify it and it's off into the ether. Maybe it'll come back up, but you know, it's not
seeing,
part of you.
Seeing it out loud allows me to release the burden and it has no power over me. That's why we verbalize it. And then it releases the power versus keeping things in our head and stuffing them and repressing them and avoiding them mm-hmm. and numbing them, mm-hmm. which is my journey. That's what I did for a long time. And mm-hmm. until it got me to my rock bottom where I lost the will to live and I was taking a bunch of sleeping pills and not wanting to wake up because I thought my life was better with me not in it. Mm-hmm. And which comes back to why this men's work is so important, whether it's 12-step program, whether it's a monthly men's meetup, whether it's a mastermind, we men need each other now more than ever to hold space and support each other, to share with vulnerability and honesty what's really going on. Because as you know, Q, what happens when we don't, it's a funeral. It's an addiction. It's a suicide. It's an overdose. It's men suffering silently.
Yeah.
And that's why recovering loudly and having these conversations are so important.
I like that. Recovering loudly. That's really cool.
So others don't die quietly.
Wow.
And so for me, how dare I not share my journey in recovery and being a sober man and all the things that I've done to get from that rock bottom in 2015 to where I am today? How dare I not share the journey and show others what's possible? Because that rock bottom, my greatest challenge, my darkest hour, is now my greatest asset and my brightest light and my superpower.
Yeah.
To inspire hope for others. And so you're just like your journey, and your journey might look different than mine, but us sharing our journey, Q, and giving other men permission, you know, when we share with vulnerability, other men can say, yeah, me too. And they can identify in our story in some way. It doesn't have to look identical, but they can identify and look at the similarities versus the differences.
Yeah, it's so true, man. See how alike we all really are. One of the biggest takeaways I get from the groups or the meetups that I lead is guys, you know, we ask them like, what are you taking away from this? You know, what did you learn about yourself? And I'll get the classic things like, I just feel lighter. I just feel connected. I feel grounded. I feel excited to take on my week, right? A lot of guys will say though, it's amazing how similar we are. Like I thought that I was the only one going through this, but it turns out everyone else thinks these same things. You know, how often do we live in our fucking head? Like, you know, like we live in our head, and it's yeah. like that. That's the age old thing for guys is like, we're always in our head, you know, classic example.
I got to share something real quick because Hugh and I were on a very intimate Zoom call 2 weeks ago with in our mastermind, and there was just a few men on the call, and I shared very openly about something I'm going through, about how challenging it is for me, you know, living with my girlfriend, and I haven't lived with a woman in a long time, and sharing with Q and a couple other men who I am close with, sharing openly about how hard it is to live with a woman, and it's been one of the greatest challenges of anything in my life. And I shared that openly, thinking I was the only one who was having similar experiences.
You were having a day, man. Like you could see it on your face. Like you were struggling. And like, then you like, we're like, what's going on, Andrew? Like what's really going on? And you shared that. Like, what did you say?
I said, it's freaking hard living with a woman. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And it felt, here's why it felt so good after I shared it, because the men who were on that call, who I respect and admire, could relate. And they then shared vulnerably and honestly with me that said, they shared with me, yeah, I get it. I can relate. Me too. And hearing men say those words, yeah, me too, it felt so good that, holy shit, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And here I am teaching this work for a living, and I got to share that. And I'm in this work, like I'm in this work, Q's in this work just as much as anybody. And I got to share that in a safe setting, in a safe container, and the impact that had for men who were holding space for me to share that. And then get mirrored back to me that they could relate, that I wasn't the only one, and that seeing the similarities and sharing those shared experiences.
Yeah.
That's why this work is so important. And I'm in the work just as much as anybody for people listening. And so you're not alone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so true, man. My favorite part of that was like when you said that, and then you kind of like, you got it out, and then like you pause for a second. You're like, it's just really hard living with someone else. And you got it out, and you're like, everyone's just like looking at you like, yeah, like everyone just starts cracking up. Like, we're laughing at how monotonous that was to say. Like, no shit, you know, like no shit, right? But we forget that when we're in our own heads, we forget these things.
And like, I didn't grow up. I was not modeled that cue by nobody ever sat me down and said, hey, living with a woman, when you get married or when you get into a relationship with a woman and you move in together, there's going to be challenges and it's going to be hard. And I never had that talk. I never got that talk from a man growing up. And so I'm 44 years old and I'm learning these things, and I'm so grateful that I am. And you know, my journey where I'm at and my path might be different than other people's, but like having a men's group, like Q and I are both coaches and we both invest in other coaches to help us.
Yeah.
And so that men's group that we have together in that container, it's powerful and it's so helpful. And so I always say, I'll never trust a coach who doesn't have a coach. Yeah. So Q and I have a coach that we're learning from and taking tools from and gathering knowledge and wisdom, so then we can share it with our clients. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad, man. I want to acknowledge you, because that container that we have to be able to be vulnerable and honest with each other week in and week out is priceless.
Really is. Really is. And I talk about that a lot, you know, like this came up in the conversation we had in the mastermind. We should just like plug the mastermind while we're at it.
Let's do it.
This is Dan Doty's Ring of Fire Mastermind. One of my mentors since I, you know, started men's work, and Dan leads a really powerful container. He brings together really powerful people, and you know, candidly, like that's like 80% of the work, you know what I mean? Like, we're getting so much value out of just being with one another. That's how men's work kind of works too. Like I said, like just bringing guys together and facilitating a discussion. Oh man, there's just like so much juice there, you know? Dan layers on his teachings and it like just takes it out of this world. But like I sit with my own men's group too. Like I actually hand selected my own men's group, a year and a half ago, maybe it's been 2 years now. Because I had been in men's groups and I felt like I was the one that was leading consistently. And I was, you know, I didn't feel like it was being met just in the way that I wanted, you know what I mean? I didn't feel like, for whatever reason, I didn't feel like I could really like let my guard down the way that I really wanted to. And, so I was like, okay, like, would it be a stretch for me to actually go out and create my own? Ask people that I look up to, hey, do you want to be in my group? Or like, hey, you want to start a group together? That felt risky to me. And I was like, oh, well, if this feels risky to me, this is something I should do. It's kind of how I live my life. Like, if it feels risky, or if it feels like my butt's puckering when I'm about to do it, you know, like that's kind of my compass, my butt, you know? My butthole. So, you know, I'll just go, right? And so
I think for people listening, I stay on that thread real quick, because I want you to talk about that cue. And that's the first time anybody's mentioned that specific word on the podcast. So there's a few
firsts.
there's a few firsts today, but okay. That feel that tension that we get.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's right. And so for people listening, we all feel that in our body, that somatic feeling.
Yeah.
And it's so important that you're talking about it, Q, because that's how you know what I'm hearing you say is that's how you know that's your next right indicated step because you feel that.
Yeah.
So many people feel that and they back away from it because it's too much instead of leaning in and walking through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And you have to know your own body and your own nervous system to know what is a stretch for you. That's what we work on a lot in groups is like, you don't want to stretch 10 or 20% outside your comfort zone. You know, you don't want to take a huge risk if it's going to backfire. You know what I mean? That's what a lot of guys or people are afraid of is like, you know, what if I fail? You know what I mean? So like you have to have your own barometer. There's the 4% rule that I work with. It's like scientifically, like you kind of find flow when you're stretching your comfort zone by 4% consistently. So like, you know, saying the word butthole on here is 4% outside my comfort zone. That's because I'm in like a bit of a flow state right now. You know, it's like, it's worth the risk, you know, but saying asshole feels like a 10% risk. So I'm not going to say that. Oh shit.
The good thing is we can cuss on here. It is, as long as they put the E for explicit, we can warn people that.
It's funny because I don't normally cuss that much, but
taking risks, like that's, it's really important for people listening, us giving people, men and women, permission to take a risk. And like, for me, like moving up here from San Diego and the community I created up to Bend, man, that was a huge, that was probably more than 4%.
Yeah.
But like, I wanted a full spectrum of life experiences and emotions.
Yeah.
And like, I wanted to experience all of it. And I found myself, and the reason I wanted to have you on is because your enthusiasm and your zest, which I love, and that's me as well. I felt myself losing that zest. And I knew I needed to take an action, a different action to get a new result, because what got me to where I was won't get me to the next level and the next iteration of myself. And I'm aware of that. And so
true. What action did you take? Cause there were a few things that were present when we last talked, at least like, it was taking action on the business stuff, right? It was like feeling stagnant in that, like, you know,
it's because living in San Diego, and this is, I'm glad we're talking about this, you know, the in-person, classes and workshops that I was putting on in the community, with breath work and yoga, the recovery community, I had these different pockets of different communities that I had built up for, you know, the last 5 or 6 years. And, but I just didn't, I lost the enthusiasm. Like I was just doing the same things. And I knew this spirit was calling me to play on a larger scale. I knew I was playing small.
Yeah.
And so moving up to Bend to create experiences, in nature, outdoors, away from city life, I knew I needed to immerse myself in a place where I could create a new community and then create retreats and immersions, multi-day events to bring people out into nature to connect with each other for more adventure and more brotherhood. I knew it was in a different area of where I was living. And that's why we moved up to Bend, because it's quieter up here and I was being called to play on a higher level. And I knew I needed to take different actions to get different results and new possibilities. Cause if I kept doing what I've always done, I'm going to keep getting what I've always gotten. And so I took the risk of making a geographical move to put myself in an environment that was nurturing to create these experiences for people.
Right. It feels like a blank slate too. You know, it's like a fresh canvas. Oh,
yeah.
You know,
it's new ways of being. Yeah. And like, it's scary as hell. In the first couple months, and I've never shared this before, you know, every day I was thinking it was a regret and I want to move back to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 months. And I thought my girlfriend and I were going to break up, and we're finally now, you know, almost three and a half months in, that there's a flow state and there's a rhythm and there's, I am putting myself in different environments to create that flow state, because my flow state in San Diego looked a lot different than my flow state here. And getting to figure out how to get into that flow state and what actions encouraged or allowed me to get into that flow state. Like, for example, 2.5 or 3 mile walks in nature every day is part of how I get in my flow state now. Mm-hmm. And I see deer and quail and geese and ducks. And it's a lot different, the things I'm doing now. And it's really remarkable. And so it's different than it used to be.
Yeah.
And it feels good. And,
yeah.
And the experiences over the last 3 months are priceless, because that's what I wanted. Like, I wanted to learn how to be cohabitating with my girlfriend, because what came up is my very selfish tendencies. The light of awareness was shined on my selfish ways, and I get to work through that, learn how to communicate with her, asking for what I want and need, because we're living together and we're spending so much time together. I need to behave or act in new ways to create new possibilities just in our relationship together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's one thing I love about relationship is that it requires us to look at certain parts of ourselves. Right. And that's what's really cool about being in community and being out in the world. Like, I was just talking to someone that you and I both know, spent like a couple years, like in, like basically in captivity, you know what I mean? And seeing how that impacts the psyche, how that impacts our personality and who we are. And we live in our head when we're by ourselves, you know, but when we're out with other people, when we're experiencing nature, when we're experiencing others, right, when we're living cohabitating, it's like everything's under a pressure cooker. You know, you're seeing new parts of yourself, you're seeing new sides of yourself, you're seeing new perspectives. I don't know, man, like it's I guess it is pretty simple. Like, we're social beings, you know, we need to go in our cave sometimes. Like, I got a cave here, I got my own place, but I get energy from being out in the world and leading these things. And oh man, it's so much fun, right? It for calls sure. us into new ways of being, you know?
Yep. Very well said. New yeah. ways of being.
Yeah.
One thing I want to talk about, you know, this definition of success, a lot of men's definitions of success revolves around how much money they make, what they do for a job, maybe a family, material things. What is your definition of success, Q?
Oh, man.
How definition do you measure of, success?
Yeah. Well, when I think of success, I think of, like, I don't know the actual definition of it, but the way that I interpret success is, we talked about this last night, like, it's like being effective or ineffective in reaching my goals. So success is based on your goals. Success is not necessarily like right or wrong, you know? It's like, did this guy have a goal and did he go out and achieve that goal? Is he working towards that? Is he taking actions and does he have systems in place for him to actually reach that goal in an effective and time efficient manner, right? In many ways, like, really success is the process towards a goal. You know, it's like, am I being effective in working towards that? You know, I don't know if I'm going to, I want to frame this really quickly. Like, sometimes, like, I don't know if I'm going to feel the way that I think I'm going to feel when I reach this certain plateau of business, right? I got thousands of guys coming to my meetups. Like, is that going to have me feel some kind of success? Is that my definition? I don't know, right? Like, sometimes we don't know until we get there. But the better we can get at getting clear on the feeling we're about to feel, like what we're actually looking for out of that success, like, because when I really think about it, what I want from that reaching that goal is actually the feeling of impact, the feeling of almost significance, right? I think there's kind of a vain ego part of me that wants to be significant, that wants to feel like I'm giving my full gift and that I'm being seen for that. I think there's a part of me that wants that. I don't know if I'm going to get rid of that. You know, that's kind of me. Maybe in my next evolution, I'll realize that that's not really fulfilling, you know, but I think life is really just, it's it's really just a matter of setting a new goal, setting a new course. Because I have athletes that I've worked with that reached the pinnacle of their sports career and they didn't feel it. Like, it didn't feel the way that they thought it would, right?
Yeah, I can relate. So, on the other hand,
like I personally have spent years and years and years planning and planning and planning and thinking and thinking and thinking, not out on the field, not in the arena, just like overthinking, overanalyzing, trying to figure out the perfect path of where I want to go. And I don't want that either for anybody, you know? I'd rather you be in action towards something, you know, and having fun in the process than overthinking everything and living in a cave. You can see my analogies are coming out right now, you know, like it's about balance. It's about harmony of those two things, knowing where you're going and actually going towards it. That's success. You know, it's a process.
And I think you said something really important. What's the felt experience of how you feel when you do things? And if you have a goal, how does that goal make you feel?
Yeah.
And I think it's been my experience. So many men are cut off from their felt experience. Mm-hmm. Because they're addicted, they're numbing out.
Yeah,
this concept of numbing out is the real epidemic, right? With drugs, alcohol, pornography, social, gaming, work.
Yeah,
and so we're so disconnected from the neck down,
right,
how we feel.
Yeah.
Because we are so addicted to something external,
right,
that we're using to numb out, which is a way of coping. And that's the piece that people listening, like that felt experience and getting people, especially men, to be able to feel.
Yeah.
Get into their body.
Hell, man. If you want to feel something, come out to one of these men's meetups, or like come out to an event. Like, go to one of Andrew's events in Bend. Like, you want to feel something, you want to connect with your whole body, you know, like actually let loose, right? Like, coming back to that, like literally let loose, right? Then you're going to get it, man. Like, you're going to get what you came for. And you're spot on the felt experience. Like, that is what it is. And there's so many other examples. Like, my addictions, I know my addictions. Like, don't act like I don't have addictions, right? I have addictions too. So my addictions are to work, because I can justify working more because there's always more to do as an entrepreneur. There's always something else to build, or 10 more people to call, or whatever. There's always more to do. And like, it's kind of a never ending thing. I'm just going to be chasing my tail for the rest of my life, right? So I have to set real goals for myself to avoid work addiction, stress addiction. Right. I have to set real attainable goals. Like, I set out like a to-do list, and like, that's what I'm focused on, you know, stick to the list. If I start going elsewhere and thinking I'm supposed to do five other things, I'm not being very kind to myself, and I'm probably numbing out, you know. I numb out on social media too. That can be an addiction too. Really easy one. Got to be careful with that. So
use with intention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I wasn't running my business partially on social media, I might not even be on it. Like, it's one of those things, maybe I'd rather just not have it in my life, you know, kind of like sober curious. It's like, do I really want that in my life? You know, not sure.
All right. I got to ask. And again, I just want to acknowledge you again for all that you're doing in the world, how you're showing up, Q. For all my men in San Diego, we're going to give you all the information on how you connect with Q, his monthly meetups, his mastermind, his men's group that's coming up in April. I'm excited for all the men in San Diego to gravitate towards this guy, because he's got something powerful that I'm really admiring and respecting. And so we're going to drive everybody we can to you in San Diego. But I got to ask this question before we do that. Tell us about your fascination with Mr. Rogers.
Oh, come on.
It's epic, man. It's beautiful.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
Tell us about it.
Haven't been asked that one on a podcast. See, this is the juice that comes from me sharing something vulnerably in a mastermind or a group. You learn these kinds of things about me. So I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, And I went to church. It was a Presbyterian church up the street. And it just so happens that Mr. Rogers went to my church. I lived in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I went to school and church.
Literally.
Yeah.
First person I've ever met who has shared that information that has literally lived in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Yeah.
Not figuratively.
Yeah.
Literally. This is a first, folks. You heard it here on Positive Impact with Q Williams.
Exclusive.
Mic drop.
Boom. I would see him at church, right? And then I kind of watched the show growing up. Like I was more of a Rugrats guy personally, you know. Hey Arnold, right? That was my generation. But as I grew older, like I also went to high school next door to KDKA or WQED. That was where he filmed all of his episodes, WQED. So I literally lived in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and I went to school next to the actual set. Like Mr. McFeely was probably passing through the doors all the time. So I had this weird connection to him. And then when his documentary came out, when his movie came out with, I think, Tom Hanks, right? Plays an incredible.
It's a great movie.
Mr. Rogers.
Yep.
Like, wow. By the way, I watched that movie with a group of guys, and it can't just be any group of guys to watch the Mr. Rogers movie with, like emotional as it is. I watched it with my men's group on our men's trip, our annual men's trip. And it was like one of the most special moments I've ever had, like to watch that movie with guys that actually, I don't know, like really get it. Like, I know they get it, you know, it was so cool. So anyways, I have a fascination with Mr. Rogers. There's a very synchronistic relationship I have with him, similar to all our synchronicities. You know, there's more than I'm telling you now. There's just some funny stories that have happened that connect me and him. And I have a pipe dream. Maybe I'll make it a reality at some point to recreate what he did for our world, right? Like recreate that emotional intelligence training in a way that's digestible, loving, empathetic, grounded, centered. Like what an example of a man. Like what a unique example of a man. So that's a big part of my mission, is like to really embody that Mr. Rogers energy in my own way. And what I meant around the stretch is maybe I'll make a show, or maybe I'll make a podcast, or
yeah,
I'll dress up in my own cardigan at some point in my life.
I appreciate that, man. You know, this idea of mentors and healthy masculine role models, whether it's Dan Doty that we've referenced in our mastermind, the Ring of Fire mastermind that we're both in, whether it's Mr. Rogers, like I love how you have these male figures in your life. And so do I, that we can identify with and relate to and learn from.
Yeah.
And embody. And it's now more important than ever that we find those people, surround ourselves with them. If they're not within our proximity, watch their movies, listen to their podcasts, listen to their music. There's ways that we can. We can be in that power of proximity. We can find ways if it's important enough.
I can tell we're in flow state right now, because just 2 days ago, I printed out a picture of a man that I admire. And I did it because I don't have, like you're kind of referring to, like we don't have many examples of who we really want to emulate, you know, like I don't have Mr. Rogers down the street for me anymore. Right. Mm. So I thought to myself, who do I want? Like, whose life do I really enjoy? Who would I like to be like in certain ways? And there's a man that I've known for a long time, ever since college. And I wonder if he would care if I shared this with him. He'd probably love this. This is a picture of him. I printed out this picture. This is Mr. Vernon. This is the former CEO of Kraft. And I've always loved the way that he would show up to his son's football games in college. Like his connection with his family, his relationship with his wife, I admired his sense of calm, his demeanor, obviously a very successful businessman. That was not the part that impressed me. It was the fact that I actually didn't know that about him when I first met him. I didn't know that about him for 6 months, right? Like, but you know, he's not a perfect person, but like, what a cool example. And so I now have this picture to remind me of the kind of person that I really want to be. And Mr. Rogers is probably going to get a spot on my desk here soon, but you know, I think that this is literally a way for me to remind myself of who I'm trying to become, who I'm living into and stretching into on a daily basis.
I love that.
Yeah.
And for my coaching clients, I call that an anchor. It's something in our physical environment of something important to us that moves us closer to that which we want more of, that physical proximity. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a picture, a song, a fragrance, something important that we want to create a deeper connection with, but especially for mentors, whether, you know, for me, it's been Dan Doty, you know, his family, his, you know, how he shows up as a father, the things he's doing out for men in nature, for adventures. Like he's a man in my life who has really had a positive impact. And I'm glad we're talking about this subject. So for Mr. Vernon, Mr. Rogers, Dan Doty, it's so important for people listening. And I speaking for both Q and myself, that's what we're creating in our own men's groups to be that mentor for other men. Yeah. And that's what I know you're doing and I'm doing to embody that and be that change and be that strong, healthy, masculine influence for other men, because we need it now more than ever.
We do. That so, last point, we could have a whole podcast episode on why we need it so bad. Yeah.
But how we show it up, doing the work, Q's doing the work, I'm doing the work with our own coach and our own mastermind, and then holding containers in our own masterminds for other men to be a part of, helping those coaching clients. And it's the ripple effect, man. It's the ripple effect, and it's the passing on of tribal knowledge and wisdom, surrounding herself with elders.
Yeah.
And that the rites of passage of, that's needed now more than ever. And you're doing it, man. You're doing it every month. I want to acknowledge you one more time. I love you, brother.
I love you too.
The work that you're doing. I'm grateful to be on this journey together. And one more time for people listening, where do they go to find you and to be a part of what you're doing?
The easiest place is mensmeetup.com. It's a website, mensmeetup.com. Second best is my Instagram. I share a bunch of videos, a bunch of tools and resources for, I like to say I'm shaking up what it means to man up.
And that's QWilliams_ for the Instagram handle. And I'll put that
Williams
in the show.
Williams_ two underscores.
Two underscores.
Yeah.
QWilliams_
Yeah. Men's one day I'm going to buy out the regular Q Williams one day.
Okay, man. Thanks for what you're doing. It's important work, and appreciate you acknowledging you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Andrew. I want to say the last thing I should mention is I also run some programming for athletes. So if there's athletes out there that are listening to this, I run two programs, one's for men and one's a co-ed program for competing athletes. So there's tons of resources on both my Instagram and my website for athletes to really hone in and identify your passion, your purpose, your path beyond sports. So if the men's content lands, then the athlete content will land too. So just want to share that as well. Thanks, Andrew.
Cool, man. Great job. We'll do it again.
Let's do it.
All right, man. All right, brother. See you next week, everybody.